Portland, and until it all gets going, she's been coming here on Sunday mornings, and she has just been a blessing. So she just has a word she feels that the Lord wants her to share this morning. So no setup or anything.
Okay, so during worship last week, and then I got it again this week, so I really want to be obedient. Sorry for my voice. Okay, so what I got was the great physician wants to do surgery on our hearts, right? Okay, and on a lot of us, he's done surgery, and he's gone in there, and he's removed things, and he's repaired things. But some of us still have unforgiveness. And we may not recognize the unforgiveness because it's been there for so long. It's kind of turned to bitterness. And once you live with bitterness for a while, it becomes a way of living. And you see through that grid. That's the grid you see everything through. And you end up putting walls around your life. We end up putting walls around us to protect us from any of that ever being revealed. And so our world gets very small. And so the other part of that word was that I heard him saying, this is as far as I can go until you deal with this. We've done as much work as we can do together until you deal with this, until we deal with this together. So that was... That's my word.
There we go. We're going to. Oh, we're going to.
What the Lord showed me in the prayer room this morning was the beginning of Joshua. Joshua starts off, God deals with Joshua first and tells him, be strong and of good courage. For I'm with you. And he tells him that three times, reassures him, be strong and of good courage, meaning set your face as like a stone because I'm with you. You don't back off. And they cross the Jordan River on dry land. And as soon as they're in the promised land, the first thing that he calls them to do is to be circumcised. He calls the men to be circumcised, and true circumcision in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, and the New Testament, true circumcision, what is an example of, is circumcision of the heart. It's the trimming of the way of the judgment. It's the allowing God to deal with the judgments and the unforgiveness and things that we have in our heart, identity issues that we have. That's the circumcision of the heart. It's laying down our judgments. And right after that, they're circumcised, they eat of the old fruit of the land, and the angel of the Lord shows up right after they're circumcised. And Joshua sees the angel of the Lord standing there and thinking it must have been in the form of a man, and he draws out his sword and he says, are you friend or are you foe? And he says, I'm the captain of the host of heaven. And Joshua falls on his face. And humbles himself before God. And the Lord begins to tell them then a very strategic plan for taking the promised land. This is when he draws out the plan of, he gives them very strategic orders how they're going to take Jericho. And it's step by step. But you can't get the plan until you allow the work of the heart to be done. And really what I believe, I mean, what was it, 2 weeks ago before Lee Eddie was here, what was the message? Was dealing with Goliath. And Goliath is all clothed in bronze. It all represents judgment, and the word from the Lord was that we need to deal with the bronze, we need to deal with the judgments that are in our heart. We need to allow the circumcision of the heart to take place, because God has a plan for us. God has a plan for us to take this city. God has a plan that I believe is going to influence a lot of cities and a lot of people in this region. It's not just for the city of Corning. There's something God's doing here. But the word continues to come forth. You got to deal with the heart. You got to get rid of it. You got to be willing to trust Him. And really what that is exactly that. It's when we'll renounce our judgments and get rid of those, what we're really doing is coming into that place where we're trusting God's judgment. God, you got this. This ain't up to me. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, though it be gentle and humble, Lord, your heart's cry. Lord, if there's rage in your heart, if there's a cry in your heart, it's that your people would walk in the freedom that you've given them. That we would truly come to that place of trusting you. Lord, I pray you would have your way in this service today. You would continue to speak to us, Lord, that you would reveal the judgments and the defilement that is in our heart, Lord. Would you reveal the hardness of heart that is there? Lord, that we would be obedient and to put it all down. It's the laying down of the soul. And it is with a purpose. It is your strategy. It is your will. Lord, we bless you this morning. We thank you for your faithful love. Show us your heart this morning, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.
That have been painful to watch. Hard to hear, hard to hear, hard to see. And after all the things that they did with black, I didn't want to go backwards. And have my heart get hard and get towards all the pain is all I was hearing. And God began to show me my family members that I wanted just to walk away from and really not deal with anymore. Because they were just overwhelming in their judgments and their bitterness and their brokenness. Then I started walking before the Lord saying, don't let me go backwards in my bitterness. I want to stay single-minded, single-souled, and single-hearted. It's how we see them as you see them. And like Mike says, broken people break people. And broken people get bitter because they're broken. For whatever happened to them, happened to them. And then they get mad at God. Where were you with such and such? It really doesn't matter. God wants to heal the broken. He wants the bitterness to come out. And he wants us to stop judging the behaviors or the words of another because they're walking in that bitterness, that hardness. And Jesus says, my job is to love them and not worry about what they say and not take it to heart. That he sees all and he will eventually heal all.
Amen. Acts 2, verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. This is the beginning of the church as we know it. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and they, and in fellowship, I believe they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, they continued steadfastly in fellowship, and they continued steadfastly in breaking of bread, and they continued steadfastly in prayers. But it's that part where it says, in the apostles' doctrine, that I want us to think about this morning. I hope you all enjoyed the messages that Lee Eddy brought as much as I did. The interesting thing is, generally, it never fails. When you bring a guest speaker in, the terminology amongst pastors is they start a bunch of fires, and then the pastor starts having to deal with all the fires. And I've got more of an understanding of why that happens now. Sunday night, if you were here, Lee Eddy taught on the blessing and the cursing. and what that means and how we're a cursing people. We, our default is just to curse. We talk negatively about everything all the time, and that we are supposed to have purpose and to bless. And you break the curses by blessing, and he never tells us to curse anything. God just tells us to bless. And in the middle of that message, if you were here, he was talking about the illnesses, some of the illness and disease that we have, that we have it because we spoke it into existence. Now that is a term that is used, or a phrase that is used often in church, and I addressed it that night at the end of the service. I know Lee, I know his heart, I totally agreed with everything that he taught. But if I'm not really careful, some of the things that I've taught in the past and some of the ways that he worded it and what he said could bring a little confusion to the body. Okay, and that's what I want us to this morning. I started with this verse because we need to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. This word, when you break this down in the Greek, there's a wrestling, there's a contention that goes on. And when you think about the early church, they were dealing with all they had. They didn't have the New Testament. All they had was the Old Testament scripture. So everything in the reality of what it was in the Spirit is now coming forth. They don't have the New Testament. They wrote it as they wrestled through the apostles' doctrine. So you have men that were praying. You have men that were studying the Scriptures. There was revelation of the Spirit of God coming forth that they had never experienced before. This wasn't just a priest that was telling them and they were taking the word of the man of God. They were experiencing the God of man because now His Spirit was in them. Things were changing. Their world was upside down. Anybody feel like their world's upside down? I felt like mine has been. But I realized that the starting of the fires, Lee wouldn't come intentionally and just stir things up and start a fire that I would have to deal with. But because of the way he may word things and how he teaches in his church when he comes here, it can be mistaken really easy. So that's what I want to address this morning. I want us to go back through some of the stuff that he was talking about and kind of connect the dots. I taught a few years ago, and you've heard me probably refer to it. Hebrews chapter 12 says that God chastises his children. And that's how you know that you are not a bastard child, is because he does chastise you. And that word chastise means correction. Okay? And when you go through that scripture, I started looking at how does God chastise us? And it's not a popular way of teaching it. And a lot of people will disagree, but I think it's because they don't see the heart behind it. It says, and you have forgotten the exhortation, reading from Hebrews 12:5, says, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chastised not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. God does not punish. Jesus took our punishment. That's the mindset. We gotta get in that first. God doesn't punish us. Jesus took my punishment. He took it. But he chastises me. Now, it would be nice to think that God will bring correction and correct us. Chastise just means to correct. It's to bring us into the right path again. So get me lined back up with his word so that I'm walking where he wants me to walk. How does he do that? Any way he wants, he's God. And he's done it any way he wants since the beginning of time. Now, if you have that heart, it's easy to take. God gave me a message a couple years ago about this and how he will use illness and he will use disease. He will use whatever means he will to chastise us. I have people mad at me. I think I've had to deal with that ever since then. I never said or never meant to say, I haven't listened to the recordings, but it was never my heart to say that it's God's will for you to be ill or sick. Okay? But when you teach that God will use illness or disease or anything that he wants in order to chastise you and bring you back where he wants, people hear it as, it's God's will for me to be sick? Never said that. Never meant that. That's not God's will for you to be sick. What God's will is to bring your soul back into alignment where it's supposed to be. I had a few people, one in particular, got up and left the service that day. And I had begged people at the beginning of the service, please hear this from the beginning to the end. It actually went for 3 Sundays, if you remember. I had a couple people leave. But I saw a large number of people get set free. Because what we walk around is, as Christians, and we hear all of these things about authority, and we hear all of these things about God's protection and all of these things, but then we hear a mixed message that says the enemy is attacking me and I'm getting all beat up, and we hear all of these things, and if you have illness, it's because you don't have enough belief, it's unbelief in your heart. We hear these mixed messages, and that's the part when I went to God, it's like, God, I don't get this. What is this all about? But when you start to understand that God will use whatever means He wants to chastise you and to bring you where He needs you, all of a sudden you see the heart of the Father and the love that it's birthed out of. Who am I to call an illness evil or wicked when it's birthed out of the heart of the Father to use to correct me? Scripture says that all things were created by Him and for Him. He'll use whatever means He wants. Let's face it, if the conviction of the Holy Spirit worked, we wouldn't need illness and all of these other things, now would we? But how many of us have been obedient when we feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit to stop what we're doing and get in alignment with the Spirit of God? Some of us have. We're not complete failures at all of that. Not all of us have. We haven't failed every time, but we haven't been victorious every time either. We fight with God. We wrestle with Him. And in the midst of that, God's will and His heart is for His children to get them back where they're supposed to be. And there's a reason for that. His heart is after our soul. Because in the saving of the soul, it was God who created it this way. He breathed the breath of life into Adam and created him a living soul. Because it was through the soul that the Spirit of God was going to manifest in the physical realm and here on earth. It was through the soul of man that the things of the Spirit were going to be released into the earth to subdue it. He told Adam, subdue the earth. The earth was in chaos. He creates everything and is in chaos. Satan's on the earth. He was in the garden in the form of a serpent. He begins to tempt man at that time. Man turned their back. He went with the things of the physical. He judged in his own judgment in his soul and told God, I got this, and blocked it off. He hid from God. God was there the whole time reaching out for Adam and Eve. Hold on a minute. And from that day forward, everything He did was to redeem mankind back to Himself again. He didn't throw Adam and Eve out of the garden because He was punishing them. He did it so they wouldn't eat of the tree of life and live forever separate from Him. That's the love of the Father. Everything's birthed out of the heart of love, and if we don't find the heart of the Father and see where it's in love, then we run around thinking that this big bad God is looking to judge us and condemn us and to send us to hell. No! If that was His heart, He'd have never sent His Son. But He loved us enough that He clothed Himself in flesh, came in the form of His Son, and He died on a cross and took our punishment. Can I get an amen to that? Come on. So the goal is, what was He doing? What I saw in Hebrews 12 when God gave me that message, yeah, a couple of people got offended and left, but what I saw, the people that got set free with, all the questions were answered. Because it leaves you when there's all these different teachings, things like you've spoken into existence and those kind of phrases that have been abused in the church. It leaves you in this place thinking, if I keep going through all of this stuff, something must be wrong with me. If I keep going through all of these trials, something must be wrong with me. I've done something wrong. God's punished me. I've opened the door to the devil. I've done all of these things, and we beat ourselves up. And Scripture says that He didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. He came to set us free. So we're missing the heart of this somewhere along the line. We get it in our own judgment, Cindy. Absolutely. 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 So where is the whole thing? Why would He use all of these things? He would use the illness and the disease. And I believe this. God will use whatever means. If I answer to the conviction of the Holy Spirit every time, my life would probably be a whole lot easier. I think it's kind of a last-ditch resort. Is God saying, all right, I've tried. I'm trying to get you to listen to me, but you won't do it. I'm trying to get you to lay down your judgments, but you won't do it. I'm trying to get you to forgive because I've forgiven you and I want to forgive all of this thing. But if you're not willing to do it, then I'm going to deal with that hard heart of yours. I'm going to deal with you. The same way that He did the children of Israel. He put them into captivity. He sent, He raised up other nations in the world, raised up their armies, gave them the power to overcome the children of Israel. Not because He was punishing them, not because He wanted them walking in the curse, so that they would turn their hearts back to God and say, God, we need You. And there He is, bam, on the scene, every single time. All it takes is humility. God, I broke me. God, I broke me and I need help. What's that? Yeah, I broke me. God, I broke me. It's to find the heart of the Father in all of this. So as Lee's teaching, when he says things like, you spoke it into existence, I want to clarify that a little bit. Because if Pastor Mike's saying God will use disease or illness or things like that to get your heart, if you're hearing it's God's will for you to be sick, then you're really going to have a problem when Lee teaches, you spoke it into existence. So I want to share, what does that mean? How do we speak it into existence? It's not like I spoke one day and suddenly the flu virus came to be. I didn't speak it and it was. Okay? All things are created by Him and for Him. So when these things happen, what does it mean that I spoke it into existence? I think we need to be careful with our terminology and how we say it. So Lee teaches a certain way in his church and they know how to follow it, but he's going to speak things in different terms than we're used to hearing. Okay? I don't usually say those things that you spoke it into existence, but I understood what he was saying. I want to make sure you do. Does that make sense? So we got a fire to put out. Truly the fire. It wasn't intentional. It wasn't wrong teaching. I don't have to come against him as a false teacher or anything else. We just need to wrestle with it. We need to understand what the heart was behind it. Everything Lee taught, see, I had more time with him. I've known Lee for years. I've shared with him the revelation of Hebrews 12, and he is in total agreement with it, of what I've taught. But the end result is, what's God after? What's the heart of the Father behind the whole thing? Deuteronomy chapter 30 was one of the texts that he was in. When he taught Sunday night, if you were here, Deuteronomy chapter 30 is dealing with the blessing and cursing. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 15. It says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thy heart turn away, so that thou will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce, or I proclaim unto you this day, that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over the Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou, both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. I call on heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. He's calling on heaven, or the spiritual realm. We've talked about dimensions before. You have the spiritual realm, you have the soul realm, and you have the physical realm. We live in the physical dimension. Okay? It's three-dimensional. Okay, we have the soul, I believe it's, well, let's say there's four dimensions in the physical because there's time, okay, height, width, and depth, okay, we understand 3D, we have 3D movies, all of that, okay, and then there's the dimension of time. Then you, in the soul, there's also four, you have width, you like that? Height, width, depth, my mouth overruns my brain, depth, and then you have time in the soul, okay? And then in the spirit, there's at least four. You're going to have those same dimensions, okay? I call on heaven. I call on the spiritual realm and earth, the physical realm, to bear witness or to record against you, to testify this day against what? The dimension of the soul. Yes. I call on heaven, the spiritual realm, and earth, the physical realm, to bear witness of the soul, that God has given us the authority and the power to function in the soul. Life and death, blessing and cursing. What are we going to do with it? He gave man the authority. When he created Adam, he created him a living soul. And he said, now go and subdue the earth. Go and bring it back to order again. He gave man the authority to do it. Now we've heard this, and we try to run around and stomp our feet and make it happen as the church. We've all tried to take authority over illness. We've all tried to take authority over bad people. We run around and we hear this message of authority, but we don't understand. We're not in that place of authority yet. For one, because we run around with judgment in our heart. We start determining what our house is supposed to be like. We start determining in our own judgment what one another is supposed to be like. Bruce is supposed to be just like me, so I just judge him. You're not like me yet. Don't you see that? And I keep trying to speak it into him. You got to get rid of this and you got to get rid of that, because don't you see I don't have those things. And you got to get this because don't you see I have it. And we try to duplicate ourselves and we're trying to walk around in all the authority, but it's all based on my judgment. It's all based on me. I call on heaven, the spiritual realm, and the physical realm, to record against you, to testify this day that I've given you the power to bless and to curse. I've given you the power of life and death. Choose life. What are you going to do with it? So here comes the whole thing of how do we bless? And I think out of all the people that I've talked to during the course of this week, this is the one, man. Everybody was trying to figure out, oops, I got to be careful what I'm saying. Well, that's good. That's the beginning of it. But you can't just sit down and speak your will over something. Lord, I've been blessing this, I've been cursing this part of my life, and now I'm going to bless it. And just sit down and just try to say good things over it. Doesn't work, does it? How many of us have tried? It's a beginning. Okay? At least we're trying to be careful on what we're saying. It's going to bear fruit because God's faithful in His Word. If you start speaking positive things, good things are going to happen. It's a matter of attitude. Okay? You see it in sports. You start seeing it. If I imagine things the right way and I prepare myself and I believe into it, yeah, good things are going to happen. Ask Michael Jordan. Ask him. He saw himself over and over and over again before the game ever started. He saw himself making the game-winning shot. And he believed it. So much so that when he came down to the end of the game and they got that last time out and they're all getting their plan and they're going to do it, he's saying, give me the ball. Because he believed in it. And when he's saying it, give me the ball, I'll make it, he's blessing it. Because he's already seen it. He's believed into it. How many game-winning shots did that guy make? Not that he made every one, but you're catching the picture here. There's power in the words that we speak. But when you sit down and you just start to bless whatever you want, and it gets into the whole prosperity doctrine where you're going to name it and claim it, you know, the whole financial thing and health and all of these things, it will work for a time being, but it will not sustain because you're trying to do it in your own power. It will not last over a lifetime. You're going to end up, it's going to fall apart on you because you've just become your own God. Okay? What God's calling us to do is to lay down the soul, because it's the soul that is the path that God has chose that He will manifest His presence and His glory through. If you look at the tabernacle, if you can imagine that diagram in your mind right now, you have the outer court, you have the holy place, and then you have the Holy of Holies. There was one way into the Holy of Holies, and it was through the holy place, which represents the soul. There's one way in, there's one way out. When they set up the tabernacle in the wilderness the first time, the offerings, everything was in line, and the glory of God came down from heaven and went out the tabernacle and consumed the offerings and everything that was there. But it comes through that path. That's the path that God has chosen. That's why He gave the authority in the soul. But you can't run around and do it in your own power, because what you've done is turn your heart away from the Lord. So how do I bless those things? I need to hear from God. Lord, I lay down my judgments of my finances. I've made some foolish mistakes with it. I've really been dumb with my finances, Lord. Lord, I'd really like to bring this into the blessing. Lord, I have to lay down all my mind, will, and emotions about my finances. Lord, I lay them down. I give them to you right now, Lord. And what do you say about my finances? And the Lord says, I have blessed your finances. You ask the Lord for forgiveness. Lord, will you forgive me for my mishandling of my finances? When he says yes, now you're back in that position of authority. But it's not to pick up and do whatever you want with. Lord, will you forgive me for the mishandling of my finances? Yes, I will. I love you. Lord, what do you say about my finances? He says, I'm going to teach you how to handle them correctly. And I'm going to bless you. Okay? And when he starts saying about your finances, that's what I start speaking over my finances. Now, there's the true blessing. There's the word of life from the truth. There's the truth that I'm speaking over. It isn't built up in my imagination. It's not me discovering, well, this is what I want. This is my heart for my finances and me trying to speak that over it. If that's all I'm doing, I'm speaking a lie over it. That's why it doesn't sustain. I need to hear from him. Lord, what do you say about my finances? And what he says becomes the word of my testimony, and I begin to speak that over him. When I sit down to do my bills, Lord, I ask you for your wisdom. But Lord, you said that you were going to give me the wisdom. You were going to teach me how to handle the finances. And I submit them all to you, and you bring them under the blessing. Now I'm blessing them. Now I'm bringing my finances to life. Make sense? So how do I get illness in my life? Ouch. How do I speak it into existence, as Lee termed it? Anybody ever use illness to protect themselves? Sick, can't go to work today. There it was. Husbands and wives, I got a headache. Come on, think about it. Oh, man. Ouch, I didn't say it. But you got to think about this for a minute, okay? Let's just be humble. Don't get offended, but just ride this out. I believe that God, I don't believe that there's a problem with Social Security, those kind of things. But I also don't believe that God intended for you to stay there. Okay? Here's the problem. Let's say God gives me illness. He's using illness, not giving it to me. Let's say God is using illness to chastise my soul. See, I got to be careful with what I'm saying here. I want to make sure everybody's getting the right picture here. Let's say God uses illness. He's been convicting me. He's been dealing with me. I keep judging other people. I keep hardening my heart towards God. I'm defending myself and everything that I'm doing. God says, I've got to get through to them. I love them this much. And he uses illness to go, shoo. What I end up doing is using the illness. And anything that I use for provision, protection, or identity, I'm in covenant with it. I take on the identity of my illness. Ouch. I ain't pointing fingers at anybody. All I'm saying is this is the spiritual truth. This is the spiritual principle that's behind the whole thing. Yeah. This is where we're at. Speaking of my wife, here she comes and has one of my sons. And he doesn't look happy. Have a seat there, son. And you better set up. Please. Ah, focus, Lord. Thanks. It does. And this is part of the wrestling that my wife and I went through in this learning process. Did God make my wife sick? No. But in the middle of the whole thing, when it's all going on, God began to reveal to her, I'm removing a fear that's in you that you don't even know that's there. This is about the same time God gave me the message on Hebrews 12. Stephanie's been dealing with illness since she was 6 years old. Has it become an identity? Yeah. Is it something that she's praying through and we've been seeking God on? I mean, more now than ever. I got fed when Lee was here. God revealed some things to me, and all of a sudden, I'm seeing further out there than I ever have where God is taking it. Because I believe we're headed to some physical healing and some restoring. Because God wants us to learn the principles. Listen, there are churches and ministries out there that they go to other parts of the world and they see all kinds of miracles and healings, and I guarantee I would love to see that. I want to see the miraculous. I got no problem with that. I'd love to see arms and limbs grow. I'd love to see the blind eye open. I'd love to see the deaf begin to hear. I'd love to see all of that stuff. And they claim about 80% of the people that lay hands on and pray for get that miraculous healing. What about the other 20%? What if it's soul related? Scripture says that if I have judgment against somebody, the punishment for that judgment is carried out in my life. What if the judgment, what I'm looking at as the illness and things in my life, what if that's the punishment for my judgment for them? What if that's what's carrying out in my life? I gave it a place in my life. I spoke it into existence. Okay? That's what's meant by that term. I gave it a foothold in my life. When I use illness as a protection, when I use illness as a provision, when I take those things on as an identity, I gave it covenant authority in my life, and it will do whatever it wants to do at that point because I came into covenant with it. Ooh, got quiet. That's the speaking it into existence. That's the deal. And we're not just talking about things that we do consciously, okay? There are things we do in our heart, we don't mean to do it. This isn't pointing fingers condemning in any way, because we walk into these kind of things all the time, and we don't even realize we're doing it. Why? Because we've lost sight of what Lee was teaching last week, the blessing and the cursing. We don't teach it anymore. We don't listen to what we're saying anymore. We blurt things out of our mouth so fast, we don't even realize when we're cursing someone. How easy is it to find the fault in me? Don't put your hand up. Think about it. You can think about it yourself. It's not real easy to pick me apart. You can walk out of here and you can speak, you can identify all the negative things and all the things that I do wrong this whole service. It's not that hard. He went too long. He says the same things every week. Go ahead. That's all I hear. But the truth is, if that's all you've got to say, what you're doing is cursing me. If all you see is the failures of your children and that's all you speak about, all you're doing is cursing them. If all you do is find the fault in those that are around you, if all you do is look in the mirror and see the fault that's in you, all you're doing is cursing yourself. All you're doing is giving all of these bad things that we see a foothold in your life. All you're doing is giving them that authority in your life because you're coming into agreement with it. Cindy? He challenged God's authority. Did the Lord really say, Eve? He questioned her. He just put the question out there. How many times do we do that? Does God really not want me to do that? Yeah, absolutely. He was coming against the sovereignty of God right there is all he was doing. How many times do we do that? It's not really that important. That's not really the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's just me. I just need to be easier on myself. Let me know how that worked out for you. I know how it's worked out for me. Been pretty negative my whole life. In a bad way. God wants to, His will is to capture your heart and soul so that He can manifest His glory through you. But He's got to have your heart and He's got to have your soul to do it. He's got to have your heart directed towards Him and He's got to have your soul laying, you got to lay down the soul. You've got to get your mind, will, and emotions out of the way. God can't begin to move through you and express His heart or His mind or His thoughts through there. And then you go, oh yeah, and I add your little part to it. Can't do it. So our mind, will, and emotions, we have to be willing to lay them down and really trust in what the Lord is manifesting through us. We have to really trust in the things that He's speaking to us, which means you have to know Him. Right? You got to know Him. We've got to come to that place where we're hearing God's voice so that we can truly bless one another. It's not about me in my mind. It doesn't do any good if I just think all these good things about Janet. And in my mind, I'm thinking, she's a wretch, Phil. I don't really know what she's like.
Or you try to solve my problem, you know?
Yeah. The intention is, if I'm speaking all these good things in my heart, if I'm looking at her thinking, man, she just drives me nuts. All right, here comes Chandra. I guess I got to be nice to her. And I start saying, oh, it's so nice to see you. You look great today, Chandra. But the intent of my heart is, I'm just trying to appease her so I can just go on my way. What have I done?
You don't have the authority to bless me.
Oh, you got to throw that word out there, huh? See where the authority is restored? The rest of it is just me trying to manipulate her. Who's going to pay the cost for that? If her heart is right towards me, this is what Lee was talking about. If she's cursing me the same way, then the curse and the intention of my heart towards her, she gives it a foothold. She gives it a place. But a blessing person cannot be cursed. The curse has no authority in their life. But if I start cursing and I go along with it, I've opened the door. Now the curse can begin to have an effect in my life. Now all we're doing is just cursing each other. We're throwing death back and forth in this whole thing. But if her heart is pure, and she's walking in the authority, she's laid down her soul, she's hearing from God concerning me, it doesn't matter what my intention is towards her, I can't curse her. In order for me to curse her, I've got to curse Jesus, because Christ is in her. Woo! Think I want to come against the captain of the host of heaven? Nah, I think I'll leave that one alone. Not today. But there's where she sets in that authority. It doesn't have a place in her life now because she surrendered her heart to the Lord. It's the Spirit of God that's manifesting in her. She's going to see my ill intent. She's going to see right through me. She's not going to buy into my lies. She's not going to believe it. We say little things. There are people that will say things to you, and they are cursing you up one side and down the other. And we are so blind to it, we don't even realize when somebody's doing it. Don't even realize it. Our perspective has got to be laid down. My wife shared something. I hope she doesn't. She's not mad at me for sharing this, but it just, this morning she sits down and it hit me like a ton of bricks. She says, she's looking back at 2010 when the doctors came in and they want to test her for endocarditis. There's the big, evil, her whole life. Everybody was freaking out over endocarditis. When they come in and say, we want to test you for this, and they say, you have endocarditis. She took it as in, that was the beginning of this fight. And now I got to fight endocarditis. Instead of them saying, what we found is you have had endocarditis and now is the beginning of your healing. Think about that perspective for a minute. Apply it to you. Right now, if you're sitting here thinking, well, I relate with everything that he's saying, and you could walk, you could sit there under all of the guilt and the pressure thinking, oh, no, now I got to deal with all of that. When actually the truth is, today is the day of the beginning of your freedom. And all you got to do is give it to Jesus Christ this morning. All you got to do is say, Lord, I've got this in my life and I don't want it anymore. Lord, that's me he's describing. Lord, that's me that I'm hearing right now. It's me. I've been doing that. Lord, will you forgive me? What does he say? With the Lord's heart in this whole thing. I love you. Of course I forgive you. But you've got to get it out of your mouth. You spoke it. You've got to renounce it. You've got to use your words and renounce. You've got to bring it to the light. What does it say in John 1? The light came into the world and the darkness comprehended it not. The light came into the world. The love of God came into the world. And we didn't want it. We shoved it aside. All you got to do is bring it to the light. Lord, that's me. I did it. Lord, will you forgive me? I have been cursing my family. I've been cursing my friends. I've been cursing my pastor. Whatever it is, I've been cursing these things, Lord. Will you forgive me? And as soon as you hear that answer from him, and you've got to hear it. If you don't hear it, there's heart issues, and we need to deal with those. We need to find out what it is. It's time for ministry. But the breakthrough starts happening when you're willing to bring it to the light. There's the breakthrough. That's the beginning of the end of it. That's the beginning of the healing process. You just invited Jesus right into the middle of all your mind, will, and emotions and how you feel about everything. You're saying, Lord, this is all flesh. I don't want this. This is wrong. Lord, what do you say about it? There's the beginning of it right there. That's that. Now I'm in the position of authority. I renounce those curses. I renounce the negative things that I've said about my brother. I renounce the negative things that I've said about my sister. Lord, I renounce the negative things that I've said about my children. I renounce the negative things that I've said about myself. Because now in the Spirit, Lord, I can see that I am justified. I am adopted into your family. You love me. You chastise me. You do not punish me because Christ Jesus took my punishment. I'm adopted into your family. My spirit man is born again, and it is complete, sanctified, set apart unto you, holy and complete, nothing lacking. And Lord, with my mind, will, and emotions, I believe into what I see in the Spirit of God. I renounce these judgments in the name of Jesus Christ. Illness, I tell you to go in Jesus' name. I am set free. You have no hold on me. My judgments have been renounced. It was the foundation and your foothold in my life. But it has been renounced. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me. Go! There's the truth. There's the freedom. There's the authority. But it only happens when we will humble ourselves and say, God, I'm done. You walk around in your judgments. You walk around in your unforgiveness. You walk around in your false identities playing a big old fake game. And God will not set you free. You keep yourself bound in that. Humility is the key that unleashes the whole thing. God, I blew it. That's all he's waiting for. What would have happened if Adam would have hit his knees instead of hiding in the bushes? What would have happened if he'd have grabbed Eve by the hand, said, get on your knees, and said, God, we've blown it already. What would have happened? Come here. Get up. Serpent, get out. It's that simple. But we do the same things that they did. We hide in guilt. We hide in the shame. We walk around blaming one another and holding judgments. We walk around putting on our fake little animal skins and our fig leaves and try to fool everybody. Somebody got that one. That's a whole bunch of fake identity stuff. It's the same way. Bring it out in the light. You know what? I've been putting a smile on my face, but inside I am absolutely broken and dying inside, and I need somebody to pray for me. Bam! Freedom of God just comes into it. Right then. That's all it takes. Humility is always the key. He wants your soul because he wants to manifest himself on this earth. And he's called on earth, and he's called on heaven to bear witness. What are you going to do with the power of God that's in you? What are we going to do with it? Like Lee said, what's stopping you? Yeah, my own judgments, my fake identities, my self-judgment, my illness. You know, I would repent, but I'm just tired, God. I just don't feel good today. I mean, come on. Think about what we do. Ouch.
Yeah.
There's that false humility. That's a shame right there. It's just a matter of time, huh? There was the curse. I'm just going to do it again. I'm just going to do it again. What'd you do? You set yourself up to do it again. Ouch. You just spoke it into existence. Ouch. Do you see the connection between what Lee taught and what I'm teaching this morning? There's some real truth in it. Is it God's will? No. God's will is the freedom. God's will is His Spirit in you. God's will is you to be made whole. God's will is to manifest His glory through you. God's will is for you to absolutely influence and affect everybody you come in contact with. Because you're not speaking your own words and your own judgments, but you speak the words of life and you're blessing them. That's God's will. Will He use illness and things to get a hold of that heart so He can do that? Absolutely He will. He'll use whatever means He wants. Read your Bible. The same God we serve now is the same God that was there then. Amen, Elizabeth? At a certain point, Paul got tired of trying to reach out to him, and God said, nope, you've spoken enough life, you've blessed him, you've done all of these things, now let him go. Turn him over to the destruction of their what? Flesh. For what purpose? The saving of their soul. It's all for the saving of the soul, because it's through the soul that God will manifest. Bruce, you're jumping out of your seat here. I see it all over you.
Continue in Hebrews 12 after the part about chastening. It says, now no chastening seems to be enjoyable to the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees.
Absolutely.
And make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. We found no place for repentance, but we saw him diligently with tears.
The morsel of food. Read that scripture again for me real quick.
For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. Oh, let's see. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright.
My birthright, when I place my faith in Jesus Christ, my birthright is absolute freedom in every area of my life. My birthright is not poverty. My birthright is not illness. My birthright is not any of those things that we struggle with so much. My birthright is the absolute fullness of God in my life. But when I sell it, when I sell my birthright and give it up, is when I choose to curse. When I choose to continue to judge things for myself. When I continue to look at the things, and that's what Esau was. Esau was hungry. We're not talking about what Jacob stole from him. We're talking about he gave it up for a meal. I'm hungry. Give me some of that. And Jacob, being the wretch that he was, he says, give me your birthright.
That's pretty crazy, you know, really.
Oh, yeah. And God chose Jacob. Oh, man. God's ways are above man's ways. Because we look at it and think, man, he should have given it to Esau. Jacob was a wretch. But what does Jacob do? I'll give it to you, but give me your birthright. Esau should have held his ground. No way, I'll make my own. I question the same thing, but that's what that's talking about. When we use our own judgments, when we're willing to lay down our birthright to do what we want and to please ourselves and try to do our own thing, we are sacrificing it. We are selling it. We're giving it up.
Fall short of the grace of God, which is when we take the judgment upon ourselves.
Yep.
Fall much short of that grace.
Absolutely. Bitterness. There was that word. That's the verse that jumped into my mind when you said that earlier. Where does it start? Unforgiveness. That's the one right there. It's a killer. It just made the heavens as brass, as bronze. We just shut off the provision of heaven in our life when we decide to walk in our own judgments of everything. Yeah, I will say the silence in here is because we're all going, ouch.
Could you say that again? We shut off
the provision of heaven or the windows of heaven, and it just becomes this brass. It talks about the rain. I think it's in Psalm. There's a Psalm that talks about the windows shall become as bronze or brass.
And you shut them off when we do what?
When we have our own judgments. It's the heart. The issue is always the heart. The issue with the soul is lay it down. Get rid of your mind, will, and emotions. Lay them down. Recognize that that's just your thoughts. It's your flesh. And there's nothing good that will come from this nasty old stinking flesh. So I might as well lay them down because I really want the heart of the Father, don't I, Cindy? Absolutely. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will but yours. But what was his prayer? Lord, that this cup would be taken from me, because I know what's coming. But nevertheless, Father, not mine but yours. It's that laying it down. It's realizing he knew that that was his flesh. Being fully man, he knew that that's what was speaking, but he automatically brought it right back into the Spirit. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will but yours. Not my will but yours, Lord. And that's really where we got to come to. Yeah. He does understand.
I have a theory about why the people far away in other lands get healed. Right, but they get healed faster than we do because they don't have all the provision with that question. Like we go to the doctor, we get medicine. You know, we've got all this provision for our flesh. And they don't have that kind of provision. So when somebody says,
I believe that some of it, there are other cultures, that there are other religions. They see miraculous healing and things with that. And the miracles don't really mean anything to them. Because they can go down the street to the witch doctor or whatever and get that. See, we think we got a handle on it. There's no bigger argument in the church as this whole thing of physical healing. That's the big one. But I can look all the way through scripture. There were some... They were doing the same thing. There's a little boy, I think, and they come to him, well, is this because of this sin? And he said, this has nothing to do with sin. He was born this way for my glory, so that I could heal him right now and manifest my glory. Then there's other times that we know it was because they had sin in their life. Listen, there is no one formula for this whole thing called physical healing, and there is no bigger area that man will argue about it when it comes to scripture and how to heal. All I'm responsible for is what is God revealing to us. What's God revealing to us? And we must be obedient to walk in that. Do I believe in those other things? Absolutely.
Well, then when God says He heals, we always put it in the body.
Yeah.
God heals.
Yeah.
God heals the body, God heals the heart, God heals the emotions.
Oh, say that one again. I like that one. God heals emotions. How many of us want our emotions healed? Then get rid of your judgment.
Said to him, do you really want to be healed? That's the thing. I think that he was used to the provision of having others take care of him for 38 years, and he wasn't responsible for himself anymore. So Jesus asked him, do you really want to be healed?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was a cathartic moment for that man. He had to realize, yes, you know I do.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was better. In the middle of my frustration,
I love it. That's one of those dull moments, huh? Yeah. And that's really, that's the heart he's looking for. That's all he's looking for. Marianne? It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alex, you had your hand up.
You actually spoke exactly what I was going to share. I'll repeat it.
Yeah.
And Jesus, this is John chapter 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, and he said, neither has this man or its parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. And I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man should work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it ties in what you're saying.
Lee finished up Monday night, if you were here, on a message on discipleship. And the Great Commission, and to be a disciple, and all those things, and basically all the whole time he was here was saying, what's stopping you? Has God called me to disciple people? Yeah. He's called me to immerse people in everything that I know the Father to be. He's called me to immerse people, ground you in it, immerse you. I'm going to dunk your head in everything I know Jesus to be. I'm going to immerse you and drown you in everything I know the Holy Spirit to be. That's what I'm called to do. But here's the deal. Bruce has discipled me. Bill has discipled me. Chandra has discipled me. Eddie has discipled me. Jesse has discipled me. Rick has discipled me. Because I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, and my ear is tuned every minute to hear Jesus in any person that I come in contact with so that I can be a disciple. It doesn't matter who it is. I don't care what body it's walking around in. I want to hear Jesus speak to me, and I know that He speaks to me through every person that I come in contact with if I will tune my ear to Him. Your curses have no hold on me, but I will receive every blessing and good thing you speak into my life. I don't have to worry about your cursing. I don't have to worry about any of those things. I'm listening for the blessing of God. I'm listening for the words of life that He would speak through anybody. Balaam, we're going to get into this. Woo! Balaam goes, he gets hired to curse. And the donkey stops him and speaks to him. Now, I'm not calling you a donkey. But God will speak through whom He will, if I will listen. Amen? Rick likes this one. Yeah. Yeah. And every once in a while, that smart aleck in me gets mad at what their attitudes of people, and I go, and then I have to repent. Lord, I'm sorry. That wasn't nice. Where's your heart? God is limitless in what He will do through a body of people that will come together in this. If we will be a blessing people, we release the power of God in this community. Susie, I'm supposed to pray for you this morning. Can you come up here? I know the heart in you that wants freedom, that wants God with everything you got. Okay? It's in you, and I know, and I've seen it. Okay? I'm just supposed to share this morning. Cancer has went through your family so many times. Cancer, even the doctors will tell you they know, and they have studied this, and they keep researching it, and God is just rocking the medical world right now. They can just about across the board take it back to find where cancer, the root of it, is always a very hard judgment. Now, that's not pointing fingers at you. This could be generational. Okay? It's time for us to join with you and pray that God will reveal. If it's a generational thing that's going on right now, then we want to stand with you and we want to break that nasty old curse. Okay? Which means we're going to bless it to break it. You don't curse a curse. It's already cursed. It's already dead. What are you going to do? Kill it? Okay? Come on, smile with me. This isn't pointing fingers at you. These are words of freedom, and you need to search God's heart.
Freedom has been in my spirit for 3 days now, just constantly. I'm trying to turn around where the Spirit of the Lord is. There's freedom, there's freedom, there's freedom.
Yeah. The key is you get the Spirit of God into wherever it is, wherever the root of it is, God knows. Okay? And He wants to reveal it to you. Humility is the key. Okay? Donna, will you come up here with me? And Sherry? Julie? Come up here, please. We're going to pray for you. Okay? It's time. It's done. It is done. Yeah. It is done. Okay? Scripture talks about the laying on of hands. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, You've called us to bear witness today of the blessing. blessing of God that has been spoken into this woman. Lord, there is a heart that loves you. There is a heart that cries out for you. There is a heart that wants the fullness of God in her life and in her family. Lord, these things have continued to run their course through her family, Lord. The cancers and the different things. And Lord, I believe you are revealing here this morning, Lord God, that there is judgment. There's judgment there. And it's not about one person's judgment, but Lord, these things can pass through the generations, Lord. These things will take their hold in a life and in a line of family. Lord, today we stand and we bear witness that she is no longer of the family of Adam. We curse and have no place, but she is the blessed of God, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, born again, adopted into the family of God. She is justified. She is adopted. She is born again, regenerated, and she is sanctified, set apart under the influence of God. So we speak to her. We bless you. We speak life into you, for where there is life, there is no death. I speak to her mind, Lord God. I speak to her immune system. No longer do you have to defend. The Spirit of God is her defense. And it's time for her immune system to focus on maintenance, to focus on healing. But Lord, you've given us an immune system in our body that will heal just about anything. Lord, we speak life into our immune system. We speak life into her, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for freedom from cancer. I thank you, Lord, that you are a forgiving God. You are not a condemning God.
Each of us brings something. Who was that for? Anybody want that? You heard what she said, and that was for you, then just claim it. Just put your hand up. Lord, I received that word. That was a rhema word. That's the spirit of prophecy. She's sitting here focused on the Lord, and the thing, and God began to speak a word to her, and she, by faith, spoke it out of her mouth. And it is out there right now for you to take a hold of it and say, Lord, I want that. That's me. I'll take that. It doesn't have to get messy. Sometimes it gets messy with God, but we don't have to expect this big, powerful, outrageous thing to happen. But just by faith, we begin to receive that blessing. Anybody else that's sitting in their seat right now that knows that they're supposed to be prayed for right now, then don't wait. Get up here. There's nothing to be afraid of. If you need prayer, if you want prayer, if the Lord's provoking you to just stand up and be prayed for, then come on.